Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
I'm Brad Neese, live in the WRAL Breaking News Tracker, where Hammond Road is shut down heading into Raleigh due to an overnight deadly crash. Coming up, what we know about what happened and an alternate route.
Last night's rain is over. Maybe you slept through it. It will not be an issue for the morning commute. But behind the system, we do turn colder. I'll show you the temperatures as we get through the next couple of days.
We're following several other breaking news stories this morning. First, a fire at a home in Sampson County brought out crews from five fire departments.
And the chase of a stolen car that began in Apex and ended in Chatham County. The search right now for four people who got away from officers this morning. Those are just a few stories we have for you on your Thursday morning. Thanks for joining us. I'm Michelle McConaughey in for an HU.
And I'm Jeff Hogan. Thanks for making us part of your Thursday here as we get things started. When you head outside, you'll notice damp roads, potentially, and warmer, considerably warmer than yesterday. But I think the big change is Elizabeth Gardner and the WRN Severe Weather Center. They're coming as we get closer to the weekend.
Yeah, we're going to talk about Saturday's potential for some freezing rain coming up over the next couple of minutes. But let's start with Clayton this morning. You can see the road is damp, but not really wet. The rain ended several hours ago. We're drying out nicely. It is likely to be a little breezy for today, and cooler air will start to filter in. This time yesterday, we were sitting in the 20s. It is 39 in the triangle right now, and our wind is currently calm, but again, may pick up a little bit closer to lunchtime. It's 36 in Roxboro, 33 now in Southern Pines, 38 in Goldsboro and Rocky Mount, 37 in Clinton and in Fayetteville. Our skies are clear, so we've lit the tower there in blue to signify the clear skies this morning. Our temperature at lunchtime, 49. We climb into the low 50s this afternoon, a normal high for this time of year with a good bit of sunshine. We watch Saturday. You can see the pink shaded area. That's where we could see some light freezing rain. The temperatures could be near freezing as the precipitation begins on Saturday, but very few folks would see that, and it will be no impact. We're looking at rain all day Saturday, about a half an inch to an inch of rain. So it's going to be a fairly miserable day to be outside. We'll take a look at our futurecast model of freezing rain and notice that most of that is back to our west. But there's still a small chance that some of our viewing area, especially north and west of I-85, could see some light freezing rain at the beginning. So watch that in the very early morning hours, just some light freezing rain with no impact expected across our area. I'm tracking another system that will roll through on Tuesday that could bring us some flooding. I'll show you coming up, Brian.
Breaking news here at 601, Elizabeth. A deadly crash on the south side of Raleigh has closed a section of Hammond Road right there at I-40. Let's check in live with Brett Neese in the WRAL Breaking News Tracker, getting new information about what's happening out there, Brett.
Brian, yeah, a deadly crash involving a pedestrian. It's on Hammond Road as you head into Raleigh right before the I-40 overpass. Take a look. This is a brand new video from the WRAL Breaking News Tracker of this scene. We're working to learn exactly when this happened. I know it happened at least an hour or so ago, but it is a deadly crash. According to police, it is involving a pedestrian. We're working to learn who that person is, why they were in the roadway there. Also asking police if the car, the driver that hit that person, stayed here at the scene. I know the crash reconstruction team with the Raleigh Police Department is out here on scene collecting evidence, trying to piece all of this together. We're going to get some more details from the Raleigh Police Department, Brian. But in the meantime, Hammond Road's going to be closed for a little bit, at least northbound heading into Raleigh. How can people get around this?
Yeah, a lot of people in Garner use Hammond Road to get up to I-40. Here's the best alternate routes for you this morning. If you're coming in trying to get into downtown Raleigh, just take Wilmington Street. You can go under I-40 there. If you're trying to get to I-40, though, from Garner, you want to use South Saunders Street this morning. Southbound traffic through Hammond Road looks fine. And also, if you're coming in on 40 westbound, trying to get into downtown Raleigh or into Garner on Hammond Road, it looks like that is open. It's just those northbound lanes under the I-40 bridge there that are closed. Elsewhere around the triangle, we are all quiet. All of our major routes are looking fine. No crashes reported right now in Raleigh, Durham, or Chapel Hill.
All right, thank you, Brian. Following more breaking news overnight, five people led troopers on a chase through multiple counties, starting in Apex and ending in Chatham County. That's where they jumped out of the car and ran away. WRAL's Kelsey Coffey joins us from Highway Patrol headquarters on Blue Ridge Road. Kelsey, police still looking for four out of five people that got away.
Michelle, this morning, the folks here at Highway Patrol are still trying to just piece all of this together. So I'll break down how this all played out. So first, the suspects stole a 2011 Kia Forte from Johnston County. That's according to state troopers. They say the suspects then used that car to lead police on a high-speed chase. The chase started in Apex and ended on O'Kelly Chapel Road in Chatham County. At that point, they jumped out of the car and ran into the woods nearby. One of the suspects, a minor, was caught and is behind bars this morning, and we're working to get an update on whether the four other people involved have been arrested. Kelsey Coffey, WRAL News, live in Raleigh.
We also have breaking news this morning out of Sampson County. Around midnight, a house caught on fire. This was the scene on River Road when the WRAL breaking news tracker arrived early this morning. Several units lined the street near the home, south of Clinton. Smoke could be seen coming from the back of the house, and we are working to confirm whether anyone was hurt out of all this, and firefighters trying to figure out what started the fire.
A man is facing charges for bringing a stolen gun onto a school campus in Raleigh. Police arrested Jaquan Stinchcomb. Officials at York Elementary School say police found the gun after responding to a fight between two adults in the carpool line yesterday. The school was under lockdown for a short time.
A man and his pregnant fiance say a driver shot at them in a road rage incident in Wake County. This happened 2 weeks ago on Lewisburg Road. The couple says an angry man was tailgating them, and they say that man pulled up next to them and started shooting. Bullets missed the driver's head by 2 inches. He tried to shield his fiance and crashed into a ditch. He says the shooter then pulled over and continued to fire shots at them. 6 bullets hit their truck. So the couple says they feel lucky to be alive.
We're beyond blessed. Nothing happened to either of us. You know, we got the best possible outcome out of the situation, but people like that shouldn't be on the streets.
The couple says the shooter was driving a green Honda Civic. No arrests have been made in this case. With the risk for heavy rain in our forecast, crews are lowering the water levels at Lake Johnson. City officials will lower that lake by about 2 feet to reduce flooding concerns along Walnut Creek. That water will be pulled from the lake until noon tomorrow. Lake Johnson's water level can be adjusted again after Saturday's rain if it's necessary.
More people are hospitalized with the flu than COVID in North Carolina hospitals. This is the second straight week. More than 1,000 people were hospitalized with the flu during the last week of the year. That's the highest number in over 3 years and up almost 50% from the previous week. COVID cases are still high in our state as well. 932 people are hospitalized with COVID, the most since late January of 2023 and up 30% week over week. Wastewater data from around the state is also up 8% and over 50% higher than 2 weeks ago. Doctors say the best way to stop the spread of illness is to stay home if you have any symptoms. And Roanoke Rapids police make an arrest. They arrested a grandmother after her infant grandchild ingested fentanyl. Investigators say Melissa Johnson had been on the run since October when she left fentanyl on the floor and the child got a hold of it. Johnson is charged with child abuse with serious physical injury.
An update to a search for a missing boater on the Cape Fear River. We're told rescue crews found a body yesterday. Police are not releasing the person's name yet. Investigators say that water was rough as those crews searched through the water in Lee County. The water level was 5 to 7 feet above normal. 5 people disappeared in that water near Letts Landing in Lee County last Thursday. The 4 other people were found alive. New documents unsealed in the Jeffrey Epstein case, with more to come in the next few weeks. A federal judge unsealed hundreds of court documents related to the convicted sex offender, including names of more than 150 people, from Epstein's alleged victims to his employees to other people with only a passing connection to the scandal. He previously socialized with former presidents Bill Clinton and Donald Trump, as well as Britain's Prince Andrew and other rich and powerful people. A spokesman of the federal court says the documents will come out on a rolling basis.
This morning, police are searching for the person who shot and killed an imam outside his mosque in New Jersey. The shooting is heightening fears in the Muslim community amid rising tension in the U.S. since the Israel-Hamas war began. The imam, Hassan Sharif, was taken to a local hospital where he later died. The motive for the shooting remains unclear. Some communities are now ramping up security at mosques.
A man is in custody this morning in Wayne County after he resisted arrest. Goldsboro police say they got a call that someone stole a cell phone and may be armed. And when they got to the apartment, they surrounded it and knocked on the door. That's when Taheem Leach jumped from the second floor window to try to run away from them. An officer caught up with Leach and got the gun away from him, and he was charged with assault on a government official and resisting a public officer. They went there because he was wanted for warrants, breaking and entering, interfering with a monitoring device, and robbery with a dangerous weapon.
We'll take a look at this video here. Fire engines, ambulances, and law enforcement lining bridges over I-40, Sky 5, flying over the interstate during the solemn processional to escort Sergeant Philip Dale Nix back to Greensboro. The 22-year veteran was shot to death while trying to stop a crime at a Greensboro gas station. His body was escorted from the medical examiner's office in Raleigh back to Greensboro yesterday. Greensboro police say they're so grateful for the outpouring of support during this difficult time.
We just ask the community to continue to keep us in their prayers and keep Sergeant Nix's family in their prayers as well.
Nix worked with the Greensboro Police Department for more than 20 years, serving in many leadership roles.
NC State basketball is on an 8-game run now, and it took a buzzer beater to get a win over Notre Dame last night. In case you missed it here, it was a slow start for the Wolfpack, down by double digits in this one. Just scored 26 points at halftime. The team trailed the Fighting Irish for the whole game until this. 6.6 seconds left in the game, and the Pack with a 54-52 win with that shot. NC State back in action Saturday afternoon, hosting Virginia at PNC Arena.
Time now 6:10 on your Thursday. Authorities in Texas arrest two men for the murder of a pregnant teen and her boyfriend. They are father and son. The big question about the case that still has investigators baffled. Plus,
it's the most terrifying feeling you can ever imagine, being told that he might not make it to see the next day.
A baby now thriving after receiving the world's first partial heart transplant at Duke. Coming up at 6:30, his parents share an update on his condition.
And last night's rain is out of here. We'll see a nice day today, a high of 51 with some sunshine. It will be cold tomorrow morning in the 20s. And then Saturday morning could be cold enough for a few of our northern counties to see some light freezing rain. I'll show you what to expect where you are coming up.
As you get into your car, tune to WRAL News Plus on your radio in Raleigh on 99.3 FM, in Durham 96.5 FM, and everywhere on 101.5 HD3.
We had rain overnight last night, but it's long gone. Our skies have cleared. Roads are drying nicely. Temperatures are above freezing. 39 in Wilson, it's 39 in Durham, and 37 in Fayetteville right now. We take a look at the day today. It's not quite as cold as it was this time yesterday, but still cold enough for a jacket out there. Clear skies. Roads are drying out, and we'll see plenty of sunshine. Temperatures this morning are going to be mid-30s to around 40, so that's a little more comfortable for exercise than what we'll see tomorrow morning as we drop back into the mid to upper 20s. We'll see a mild afternoon, near normal at 51 with sunny skies. We are looking at the potential for a very wet Saturday, and we'll talk about who could have the potential for some light freezing rain coming up in just a few minutes. Brian?
6:14, Elizabeth. We continue to follow breaking news in South Raleigh. Live pictures from Hammond Road at I-40, the scene of a deadly pedestrian crash that has closed the northbound side of Hammond Road there. We'll get an update on the alternate routes coming up in just a few minutes. I want to talk about a couple other all-new crashes that I'm following in the Triangle. Up at RDU International Airport, a report of a crash with injuries on John Brantley Boulevard. That's the main road there in front of Terminal 2. Not seeing any big delays with that, but just a heads up if you're heading through that area. Also, reports of a minor crash in the past few minutes on 40 eastbound right around Gorman Street. For the moment, at least, we're not seeing any delays on the sensors.
And happening now in the WREL Live Center, an Arizona point of entry along the southern border is one of four reopening today. This is the border port of entry along Lukeville, Arizona. It was closed for about a month after record numbers of migrants crossed the southern border illegally. Now, this is the gateway to Rocky Point, Mexico, and the businesses along that area say the closing really hurt businesses and the economies on both sides of the border. Governor Katie Hobbs there in Arizona is hoping that the Biden administration will federalize the Arizona National Guard to help process migrants there. Of course, this is a developing story that we will continue to follow here in the WREL Live Center.
Thanks, Ken. In Texas, two men have been arrested in connection to the murder of a pregnant teen and her boyfriend. San Antonio police arrested a 19-year-old and his father, accused of helping his son move the bodies. Last week, police released surveillance video asking for help identifying these two people. And the bodies were found last month in a car parked near an apartment complex in San Antonio. And both of those people have been shot. No details on a motive for the killings has been released this morning.
New information out of Sacramento, where the father of a 10-year-old boy who shot and killed another 10-year-old was in court yesterday. Authorities say Arquette Davis's son got a gun from his car and fired it at the other 10-year-old this weekend. The father is legally prohibited from even possessing a firearm, and he's been booked on numerous weapons-related charges. His son is in a youth detention facility and is charged with murder. The victim's mother says the suspect was upset about losing a bicycle race. Investigators say they believe the father tried to put the gun in a nearby trash can after that shooting.
An update in the war between Russia and Ukraine. The United Arab Emirates helped broker a deal for Russia and Ukraine to exchange hundreds of prisoners of war. Ukraine's president said 230 Ukrainians were returned, including 213 soldiers and sergeants, 11 officers and 6 civilians. Russia received 248 soldiers in the deal. It was the first exchange in months, and the swap comes as Russia continues to hammer Ukraine with airstrikes targeting military infrastructure and deadly missile and drone attacks. In retaliation, Ukraine has attacked the Russian city of Belgorod and Crimea.
Coming up this morning on Today, an exclusive announcement from pharmaceutical giant Eli Lilly. They have plans to help people get the anti-obesity medicine they need. One of the biggest medical stories of 2023 was the surge in prescription medication for weight loss. That demand also brought on a new conversation as it relates to cost and access. Those who met the requirements either could not acquire or afford it, leading some to options that were not safe.
I think a lot of people think of obesity as an issue of willpower. It's not. 40% of adult Americans have excess weight or obesity. That's a big number.
Coming up on Today, hear about Eli Lilly's plan to make weight loss drugs more accessible to those who need it the most.
It's been 3 days now since a massive earthquake shook Japan, and crews are still working against the clock to find survivors. Today, we're learning more about the worldwide impact it had, including right here in North Carolina. It was a 7.5 magnitude quake, which was first reported around 4 p.m. local time near the town of Suzu, Japan. 14 minutes later, look at this, the seismic waves registered in Pittsburgh, nearly 6,700 miles away from that epicenter. Bring it all the way back home here now. And Elizabeth Gardner in the WRS Severe Weather Center. Big changes coming our way weather-wise, Elizabeth.
Yeah, we're going to be nice and quiet today. We had some rain overnight last night, and that rain has moved out. Temperatures are on the milder side this morning. We'll have a nice day. We take a live look at Goldsboro. Pretty lights here. The roads are a little bit damp, but they'll be drying out quickly. Take a look at Apex and almost dry there, as well as Chapel Hill, courtesy of Top of the Hill Restaurant. It's a little damp there on the sidewalk in front of our newsroom in Fayetteville. But no weather issues for you this morning. We'll see sunny skies all day, and the weather is quiet. That precipitation is sliding on out of here. But we watch the next system that is moving across the Four Corners area of the United States. That's going to arrive here on Saturday. This one, as it continues to grab some moisture as it moves eastward, just north of the Gulf of Mexico, it'll add a lot of moisture from the Gulf, and that's going to help to bring snow to a good chunk of the country. This is going to be a winter weather system that could end up causing some travel problems if you're planning to fly or even drive to the mountains by Saturday. Let's take a look. You can see it's a huge system. Winter weather in the mountains of North Carolina and of course on up to the north and east. This is going to be a nor'easter as it moves northeast and dump most likely some significant snow in its path, but not for us. We'll end up seeing some light freezing rain in our northwestern counties, but again, some travel issues across the country as this travels from west to east. Let's talk temperatures. That's what it's all about for us. Roxborough at 32, South Hill at 31 at 4 a.m. on Saturday as the precipitation begins. There is a chance that there could be some light glaze of freezing rain. You can see the pink shaded areas there. It would be very early on Saturday morning. But most folks are going to be seeing temperatures in the mid to upper 30s, and then we'll climb on into the low 50s during the afternoon. So very briefly, there'll be some light freezing rain potentially north of I-85, but it doesn't look like it's going to cause any problems. So we're looking at temperatures again in the 50s through the afternoon. It'll be an all-day rain, but we'll take a look at some of the rainfall totals. Probably going to see somewhere between 3/4 of an inch and 1.25 inches across our area. So that's not likely enough to cause any flooding. We do have, again, a small chance, a 30% chance from, say, Durham back toward Siler City that we could see some light glazing. But again, I want to emphasize it would be light glazing with no impact. It looks like the mountains could see some snow, 98% chance that Boone gets 1 inch. And you follow that red band all the way up through parts of Pennsylvania, New York, and into New England. So that's where this will be an issue. We may have a bigger issue on Tuesday, not with winter weather, but with heavy rain. 2 to 4 inches of rainfall could bring us some flooding. We add, of course, the precipitation that we see Saturday to a good bit more on Tuesday. We could start to see some minor flooding, potentially rivers, maybe some urban street flooding as well. So we'll be watching for that on Tuesday. So the first part of the weekend, though, looks pretty messy. Sunday, not looking bad. Some sunshine at 55, Brian.
Elizabeth, it is 6:22 right now, and we've been following breaking news this morning with a deadly crash involving a pedestrian that has closed a section of Hammond Road at the I-40 interchange in Raleigh. Live pictures from the WREL Breaking News Tracker show where police have that northbound side blocked off. So coming in from Garner up to I-40 and the south part of central Raleigh this morning, you're going to need to find an alternate route. You can see where the traffic's getting turned around there. Let's talk about some options for you. If you're trying to get into downtown, consider using Wilmington Street. You could also use South Saunders Street as a good option there. And from Hammond Road, you can connect to either of those using Rush Street. We'll get an update from Brett Neese at the scene coming up in just a few minutes. Southbound traffic is flowing freely there on Hammond Road. We have a crash at RDU there on John Brantley Boulevard in front of Terminal 2. Apparently a crash with injuries, but not seeing any delays there. And we're still looking clear on 40 eastbound with a crash reported right around the Gorman Street interchange in South Raleigh.
All right, thanks, Brian. Mayhem at Target over an item causing scenes reminiscent of Black Friday, the limited edition Stanley Cups that people cannot wait to get their hands on.
Also, a man shows us how close bullets came to him and his pregnant fiancée during what they say was a road rage incident in Wake County.
And as we head to break, here are your winning lottery numbers. Good luck.
This What's Trending report, sponsored by Rug and Home.
Brian Trader is here now with What's Trending, Brian.
Yes, limited edition Stanley Cups. Huh. You've seen them on TikTok, and now they are causing mayhem at Target. A lot of videos on TikTok show people rushing to grab one of these tumblers here. This, before your very eyes, is the new Galentine's Day collection. They come in two colors, Target Red and Cosmo Pink. Already sold out and are on resale sites like eBay, listed at prices up to $240 US dollars.
What? And like those things cost what, like 40 or 50 bucks?
50 bucks.
In the store.
Yeah.
People are getting trampled for these cups, literally. It is a dangerous situation. It's crazy to me. I think I read somewhere that Arizona's Target sold out of those cups in 4 minutes. They were gone.
Galentine's Day versus. I know some guys in this town would like a Stanley Cup, but that's a different topic.
It's cute, but I don't get it. I don't know. It's a cup.
Yeah.
But they're happy.
Yes. Yeah.
A dog in Oklahoma is alive thanks to the family cat. I love this. Security footage shows the dog there, Oakley, outside in the yard when coyotes attack him. But then Binks the cat appears and scares them off. And that gives Oakley just enough time to run inside. She was badly hurt, but she's going to be okay.
Yeah, Binks.
Oh, my
Binks.
Goodness.
See, cats and dogs living together.
Yes.
Sometimes they can coexist.
Right. And come to the rescue.
Oh, the cone. Oh, my gosh. Okay, well, I'm happy he's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Brian, thanks. Elizabeth.
All right, we're looking at, of course, what's happening in the next few days. Today is going to be nice and dry as well as Friday, but we're focusing on Saturday. Some of our northern counties could see some very light freezing rain. I'll show you what could happen where you are.
This morning, troopers are searching for four people who were involved in a high-speed chase across multiple counties. Coming up, how this all started with a stolen car.